Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
College football.
But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on and run. We're going to go, 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 go.
It's time for Saturday Football in the South.
This ball's not for the devil.
Not for these guys.
Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael.
Take you around the SEC, ACC, and all over the college football landscape.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
Are you ready?
Ready
for some real college football talk?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Then let's kick this off. It's college football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Of college football, so we invite you to stick around with us. We got a whole lot of stuff to get to. We're with you till 11:30 today, so the next 2.5 hours, we'll talk a lot about the Iron Bowl. We'll talk Ohio State, Michigan, and all the other games going on today. Speaking of Ohio State, Michigan, that game will follow us. 11:30 pregame, 12 o'clock kickoff. Of course, you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find us at 929 The Game, at 929 CFB Game Time. You can find John Chuckery at JMCH316. Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1. Of course, always streaming live and worldwide at 929 The Game and on the radio.com app. Yes, Bulldog Chuckery.
Thank you.
All right. Just wanted to go ahead and get that out of the way. All right, guys. We've got a.
Randy. Representing.
What? Oh, I'm not. You know, I don't pay you any attention, man.
Representing.
That's all you're looking for.
I even went and got a long sleeve one for you.
Yeah, a long sleeve, slim one. So tight I can see your damn heart beating.
Listen, I can't help it. I got the gun show going on.
Yeah, you got the tight show.
All right, guys. Top 25 college football playoff rankings come out this week. Ohio State jumps to number 1, LSU 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4. And then the rest of the top 10 goes Bama, Utah, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Baylor, and Penn State. Anything change for you guys with the way this top 10 looks?
You know, Herb Street made his typical stupid comment about how, oh, I don't think the playoff committee will do any more flipping at the very top. After they just flipped LSU and Ohio State. So am I to believe that if LSU goes in and they beat number 4 Georgia in the Sugar or in the SEC,
they won't jump back to number 1,
right? Because yeah. Ohio State's going to play either Wisconsin, Minnesota, be at least a 2-touchdown favorite in that game. Okay, Herbie,
Randy, with the way the committee seems to be going back and forth with these two teams, do you think Ohio State and LSU could afford a loss and still get in?
I think both of them can. Yeah, I really do, because they're both in their respective conference championship games. So I do think that those two teams are probably the only two in the four right now, because I think, and there's no way in heck Clemson is losing today or next week to Virginia, but I think they'll hold that against Clemson. I think Clemson is the best team in America right now, but because they're in the ACC, that's holding them back. But I think if you look at, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they're 1-2. I look at them as 1A and 1B, because, again, we're talking about if LSU beats Georgia. Well, let's say, for instance, if Minnesota, they beat who are they playing? They're playing Wisconsin today. If they bump up and say they're number – say they jump to number 6. Utah lose, they move to number 6. I mean, 4-6. I mean, it's all about talking points and having something to argue about on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I think part of it is, honestly, that the committee – imagine if you had the same 4 teams – 3 weeks in a row.
It gets kind of boring,
right,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not telling you that the committee is thinking that way, but I bet you the committee thinks that way, especially when you're going to put out polls every week for the last, what do they put them out? For the last 6 weeks of the season?
I think that's
something
right.
Like that,
yeah.
You know, for six weeks of the season for about the last second half of the season. So you got to have something to discuss, because until you get the full resume, that's like I keep saying, until you get a full resume. Because here's the thing. Minnesota wins today and they beat Ohio State, I think they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're going to the playoffs. Yeah. So doesn't really matter kind of where Minnesota's ranked. Doesn't really matter where Georgia's ranked, to be honest with you. Those two teams win out.
They're in.
They're in the playoffs.
I agree with you. So, I agree 100% with you. And that's the only way I see Ohio State not being in the playoffs, if they lose to Minnesota, because you got to put Minnesota in.
Right. And that's why, honestly, I think it's only LSU that can afford to lose and not and would still get in the playoff. I think at this point LSU is as close to a lock as you can get. I think as long as they go 1-1 in their last two games, because let's say they do lose to Georgia in the SEC title game. I don't know how you – again, I don't know how you look at LSU and say, okay, their only loss this year was on a neutral field to the number four team in America who's in the playoff. How are you going to penalize them and say, no, they're not one of the four best teams in America? With all due respect to Utah and everybody else, how do you say they've been one, Utah's been six, but now we're going to put Utah in over LSU?
Well, I think the conversation next week may be, is it Alabama or is it Utah? Because I think those two teams, the resumes are extremely similar between the two.
Oh, I think what's going to be fun is how the committee is going to explain if there is like LSU losing to Georgia. I can't wait for the committee to have to try to explain their I mean, I understand LSU to me is one of the four best teams in America.
I agree.
They're not going to come out. You think they're going to come on TV and say all of it after they've spent all these years trying to tell you about conference championships and this nonsensical point and that nonsensical point? You think they got the guts to just come on TV and look in the eye and say, "Hey, we don't care what you think. LSU is one of the four best teams in America." They ain't going to do that.
No,
they're going to have the spin cycle on full alert.
Well, look, if Alabama wins today, we're going to hear a ton about Alabama over the next week, and a lot of that will be Nick Saban playing the role of politician. It's already started. This is Nick Saban from earlier in the week.
This is the best team we've played probably so far this year, and it'll be the most challenging place that we've played. So, real challenge for our players and our team.
Best team we've played this year. Most challenging place we've played this year.
That's
he's spinning it.
That's the LSU clip, right?
Yes.
That's this week. That's this week, John. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's what I said. That's the LSU clip, right?
No, that was Nick Saban from this week.
Huh?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. The job in Tuscaloosa has already started.
Well, he's right about the most challenging place they played this year. It is.
Okay.
But yeah. I look at it like this with the committee in Alabama. They're trying everything in the world not to put Alabama in this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. They don't want to have to explain it. Mm-hmm. All right? Because right now they're just hanging in the weeds because of that big persona. It's by God Alabama. And it's gonna be funny to me because let's say Utah does beat Oregon and Oklahoma ends up beating Baylor and they're the Big 12 champions, are you gonna put Alabama in front of both of those teams? I don't see it.
Mm-mm. No,
I just don't see it.
I think the two things I agree with Randy. I think there are two things about the committee right now, Chris. One is they're going to do everything they can to make sure Alabama doesn't find a way into the playoff.
Yes, they're trying.
And number two is I think they've all but told you if Clemson loses, they're not in the playoff.
Yes.
I think if Clemson does dumb their way against, South Carolina or dumb their way against Virginia, Randy, not a chance in the world that they'll put Clemson in the playoff. You just said Clemson may be the best team in America. No argument out of me. We'll talk about the numbers, Chris, about how good those two guys have been. But I think they set that tone from the very first playoff ranking when they had them at five or whatever it was, that lose and you have no chance to be in.
Which is so unfair. Because they are the best team in the country.
If there's one thing I think that we've learned about the College Football Playoff Committee over the last couple of years is, one, they love a big win. All right. I think the win for Baylor over Texas was a big win for them. They love big wins, and they hate bad losses. And a loss to South Carolina is a bad loss.
Yes.
Just ask Georgia.
Yes.
That's a bad loss.
But if you lose
in the ACC championship game, that's a bad loss.
But Georgia's still four. You say that, but Georgia's – if the season ends today, which the other thing – Randy and I were talking about this yesterday. Man, I wish it just stayed the way – if Ohio State, Georgia in one game, LSU, Clemson in another – that to me is the playoff. I'll be honest with you. If I can cherry pick my way, Chris, let me have that matchup with those four teams right now. But you say that about Georgia. They're four. Yep. I mean, they run out and win the table.
They're in.
As bad as that South Carolina loss may look, doesn't matter.
Oh no,
12-1 SEC champion Georgia.
Of course, you've also got it. You'll also have a win over either number one or number two.
Where's that building at?
It's right over there.
Okay, that's where they'll be. That's where they'll be on December 28th. That's where they'll be if they win these next two games.
It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Looking back over the games that have already been played this weekend, there's been a couple. We'll talk about a few more as we go through the next couple of hours here. West Virginia beat TCU. No bowl for TCU this year. Gary Patterson and his guys will be sitting at home. And then, of course, on Thursday in the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, an unbelievable finish as they hold on to beat Ole Miss 21-20.
Why did you raise your leg and try to pee?
I was aiming it towards you. Okay. So I don't know.
My life. I got enough women in my life to do that.
That was selfish play by the kid, but you still got to make the kick.
Oh, I agree. But yeah, still, you got to make the kick. 100 times out of 100 times in college football, that will be a penalty.
Yeah.
There's no grace in college football to do that. Again, some people start trying to compare it to the – I don't know about the NFL. I can tell you, in college football, you will never get away with
Odell,
that penalty.
I know he got fined for it. I don't know if he got the penalty or not when he did it. But, yeah, you just can't do that. No. I mean, you saw that last night in the Cincinnati and Memphis game. Kid took a swing at the O-line. And, I mean, you just
can't do that.
Can't do it. Nope. You got to say.
By the way, how'd Nebraska do?
Oh, man, that heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Mm. But, again, that's why I don't like kick. Because you see that kicker taunting the sideline after he made the kick for Iowa? See, I would have went out there and punched him right in his face. Damn kicker. Oh, yeah, he's big. You made a kick. And I thought Scott Frost was going to go punch him in his face. Dork.
It's College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Truckery, Randy McMichael, glad to have you along.
If he'd have taken a swing, he'd have come up short.
Wow. Mm. Oh. You better leave the fighting frickies alone, all right?
Hey, we'll go around the SEC, Georgia Tech coming up later today.
The New Jersey, Nebraska fan.
Alabama, Auburn today. Texas A&M and LSU. We'll talk about both of those games, or all of those games, and a few more from around the Southeastern Conference. That's next. College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. College Football. Chris Goforth. John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, it is College Football Game Time here from the Kia Studios. Randy, let's talk Georgia Tech for a second. Tech coming off a nice win over North Carolina State last week. Georgia in a position where they can't get caught looking ahead at the SEC championship game next Saturday against LSU. But I think the big deciding factor in this game today, while Georgia Tech seems to rotate a lot of bodies up front defensively, it's a lot of undersized bodies that they are rotating through there. I think the scene is set for today for Georgia to be able to dominate this game at the line of scrimmage, and that's how they win.
Yeah, they should. And yesterday, me and Chuck were talking about this game, Chris, and basically I was like, just go out there and do what you do. I know a lot of people are saying, well, this should be the game where they can, you know, work on some things and get ready for LSU. Don't get cute. Just go in there and just kick them in the face, because right now you're in a position where you're going to their house. This is their last game of the year. This would be the last game for those seniors. Yesterday was the last meeting and all that stuff for this season for Georgia Tech. And they're going to come out and they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. I mean, they're going to try fake field goals, fake punts, reverses, all that stuff. Why wouldn't they? They have nothing to lose, and Georgia has everything to lose. So right now Georgia just needs to go in there, handle their business, like you said. We're running football team. Just run the ball. Run straight at them and go over. Because their secondary, especially the corner position, they're all right. They're not bad at the corner position with Swilling and those guys. So just go out there and do what Georgia does, and you'll be fine.
No reason that Jake Fromm should even see the field come the second half of this game today, Chris. You know, I'm of the belief, I said it earlier in the week on my show, that Georgia should be treating this game no differently than UT Chattanooga, UMass, what have you. And I'm not saying that to try to slight Georgia Tech. It's just that the talent level between these two teams right now is a Grand Canyon Gulf. And if you're Georgia, you don't go mess around. You get your guys in, get your work in, and get out and get done. Because all of it all rides to next week, next Saturday. And we'll be at Stats next Saturday afternoon.
We will.
And like Randy said, if I'm Georgia Tech, you know, Chris, with no bowl game, this is it. There's no more practices. There's no more meetings.
You got no pressure.
Go out there and I guarantee you.
Hang loose and let it go.
I guarantee you you're going to see some things from Georgia Tech today that you didn't see on film all year long from Georgia Tech. There'll be a player to
them. And how grateful are is Kirby and the Bulldog defense? They ain't got to play that triple option today.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, no question about it. So much out of you, just game planning and all that.
How weird is it that a linebacker may have to cover a tight end for Georgia Tech?
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they got tight ends in action now.
All right, Georgia and Georgia Tech today. First meeting between Kirby Smart and Jeff Collins. The Iron Bowl gets underway today at 3:30. That's your CBS game today. Alabama and Auburn, number 5 against number 15. Guys, I've been guilty. I've said it all week this week whenever the subject of this game has come up. How many points does Alabama need to win by in order to be able to get in? Because so long as the human factor, the human element comes into play of selecting who those four teams are, I think margin of victory, style points, if you will, I think it counts. I think it counts a lot. But I don't know that you can go into a game like this one, a rivalry game against Auburn, and have that kind of a mindset, because I understand they may end up, you know, a four-loss team or whatever, but this isn't your typical four-loss team at Auburn. Look at who they've lost to.
Well, I here's what I think is fascinating. Is Nick Saban, Randy, willing to play the kind of football that's really going to beat Auburn? What I mean by that is this. Nick would certainly love to just line up and run it and grind. But that's not – that number one, that's not the strength of Alabama. Number two, that is the strength of Auburn's defense. Burrow and Herbert threw for over 75% completion percentage against those two guys. And I was arguing with some guy on the text line about, their secondary. Yeah, their secondary has been beaten. You can throw against their secondary. It's been shown that the good quarterbacks, Chris, can throw against their secondary. The big play to Blaylock to start that game off with, that's the formula for beating Auburn's defense, is throw it against their secondary. What does Alabama have? I don't care. It wouldn't matter if they played Clemson or LSU. Nobody in America's got four guys to line up against those guys.
Correct.
Is Nick Saban willing to say, screw the run, Randy, let me use my short passing game to be my run? You know, I'll run it because that's what we'll do and we'll mix it up. But at the same time, my run game, Randy, is Ruggs and those guys 7-8 yards over the middle of the field, and they just go.
I mean, but the thing with it, JC, that's been their offense all year, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know once Tua hurt, they focused a little bit more on the run with Najee and everything, but just to your point, that's where you play into the hands of Auburn when you're trying to do that. Now, they're going to throw some runs in there because you are playing with a young quarterback who is making his first road start in a hostile environment in a rivalry game down there in Auburn. And Mac, he's just got to be the point guard. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to do too much. We're not going to put you in a position where you're going to have to sit back there and hold the ball and read. We're going to give you these bubble screens. We're going to give you tunnel screens, hitches, slants, and let our playmakers do most of the work. But
Randy, if I'm Gus Malzahn in Auburn, I'm going to load up against the run. I'm going to make Mac Jones make a play to beat me.
Oh, well, then, I mean,
I'm going to make him throw it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, but that's
he's only got to throw it 7 yards.
Yeah, that's
air,
what
Chris.
I'm saying. That's the whole thing about it.
I mean, this isn't we got to throw it 40 yards to Amari Cooper.
I understand.
This is, they can, Chris, they put those four guys on the field. Whew.
And that's the thing about it. If you could find a way, and I think, you know, we know how great Derek Brown is. You get four hands on Derek, and then you're going
to
be fine.
Well, listen, if this is where Auburn needs its run game to come through today. I mean, that, you know,
Bo Nix needs to be a part of that too.
Right. And Bo Nix, you know, offensively has not played well in the big games that they've had this year. And Chris, this is where your best pathway is. You just don't let that offense get on the field enough times. You grind it out. Because listen, this isn't Alabama from 2011. This isn't the 185 yards a game Alabama from 2011. This has not been a great Alabama defense. You know, that's we've joked all year long about how it drives Nick Saban crazy that they can't run the football and they don't play good defense. That's not their calling card this year. So if I'm Auburn, you know, honestly, I'd take the ball first. I don't know what Gus's normal protocol is, but I'm going to keep my running game as long as I can on that field and just keep it away from them. Because, again, I say, Chris, what Auburn's weakness is defensively is what Alabama's greatest strength is on their team as a whole.
Right.
Now, Auburn's defense hasn't allowed more than 21 points in a game all year. We'll see if that changes today. And I don't feel like Bo Nix has to be – he doesn't have to be Superman.
Didn't they give
out
up 23
there
to LSU?
That's what I thought.
Did they? I don't think they've given up much more than that.
Yeah, that was like 20. I thought it was 23-20 was the LSU game.
But he doesn't have to be Superman in a game like this. Just get the ball. Just get the ball where it's supposed to go. And if he can do that, Auburn's defense is good enough to be able to keep them in a game like this.
Oh, I agree. I agree. It's just,
and it may come down to whether or not he, as the more experienced quarterback in this game, talking about Bo Nix, can you make that play at the end of the game to give you a chance?
They gave up 24 twice.
The stat I'm going to look at, I think is maybe the most important stat, yards after catch. And if you let those guys get going,
because that's the thing
about Tua. It's not about Tua throwing it, Chris, 35 yards downfield. Tua throws it 9-10 yards over the middle of the field, and he's massively accurate with how good he is. And those guys just and then you say, well, you know, Ruggs ain't going to beat us. Okay, well, Waddle beats you. Well, Judy ain't going to beat me. All right, well, Ruggs beat you. Well, neither one of them. Okay, well, Smith beat you.
What are the chances they punt to Waddle today?
Not likely.
I don't want anybody to punt to that guy.
I'm kicking it out of bounds.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that be because he is a touchdown waiting to happen every time he touches the football. Bo Nix doesn't have to be, you know, overly good, but he got to be good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, Whitlow, he's coming back and everything.
He can't be
40% looks better and better.
He can't be 40% completion today.
Yeah, but my thing is how big is big when you talk about Alabama beating Auburn? What's the line? Three?
Yeah. Three.
Yeah, it's right at three. So, I mean, could it beat them by 10? Would that be enough? I mean, the committee does not want to put Alabama in this game, in the playoffs. They just don't.
Well, Alabama doesn't control their destiny in any
– But they got that one guy.
They do.
They do.
That can make it seem like they control it.
But they have to have a lot of good things happen. Okay. A lot of things have to happen to get Alabama in that position.
It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we talk around the Southeastern Conference today. Tennessee is at Vandy. That's a 4 o'clock kickoff today. Tennessee with a chance to win 7 games this year.
Who saw this coming after that? After that beginning of the year, it was a complete debacle. But you got to give Jeremy Pruitt credit, man. He threw some kids off the team. They were able to rally. And, you know, it's all the adversity that they faced, they found a way to win these games. And it's funny because, I mean, we were talking to bullpen, Chris. They haven't beat Vanderbilt in 3 years. When did you say that about Tennessee and Vanderbilt? That rivalry, I guess.
And Guarantano has, like, no support from the fan base, but he finds a way to win games.
I think that fan base has started to change a little bit where
they're on board now, Chris?
I think where he's concerned, things have – you know, the tide's kind of turned for them. I think that there's way more positives about – this team and where they are and where they're going. And honestly, year two, given what he inherited, 7 wins is right about where Jeremy Pruitt should be.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and the difference, remember, Missouri, they appealed their bowl suspension.
They didn't get it.
That was denied this week. So Missouri's not going to a bowl. So a 7-5 SEC team versus a 6-6 SEC team, you stand a chance to get a little bit of a better bowl game. Maybe get out of your state if you're Tennessee and not be stuck in Nashville or Memphis for a bowl game. Maybe you get to go to Florida or something.
Is Missouri not going to bowl sort of like when Bowden and Auburn didn't go to bowl? Because Missouri's like, what, 11-1?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the same. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Chris. By the way, Vanderbilt 0-7 when they run less than 150 yards. But
Vaughn is so – he's just ready.
Yeah.
He's so ready to go. He's so ready for the season to be over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas A&M and LSU, that is a 7 o'clock game today. Can Jimbo Fisher beat a team that he's not supposed to? He hadn't done it yet.
I know, and that's the thing that's disappointed me about it. I thought A&M would get somebody this year.
I did, too. I did, too.
Either Kellen Mond has the game of his life to try to win this thing, you know, or not. Obviously, LSU's 43rd, Chris, in total defense, 42nd in scoring defense. Obviously, Ellinger and Tua put up over 400 yards apiece, you know, on them. We don't have to talk about LSU's offense. We know how good that is, but either Kellen Mond is going to have one of those kinds of days for A&M, or they're going to get run off the field very quickly in this game.
7 overtimes last year.
Yeah.
Today, LSU is a 17-point favorite.
Yeah.
So Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get the college football playoff rankings. We'll talk a little bit more about that and some of the other big storylines of the day in college football. We'll go across the nation in about 35 minutes, and we'll get into that Ohio State-Michigan game as well. It's college football game time. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. College football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth along with John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, as we get you set for this rivalry Saturday. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Glad to have you along today. Coming up at a little bit later on this morning at 11:30, we'll bring you the pregame for Ohio State and Michigan, and then the kickoff of that game is at 12 o'clock, and you can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, let's talk about some of the other games happening. Well, we just kind of went around the SEC. One game we didn't get a chance to talk about was Florida and Florida State today. Randy, it's been a long time in this game, in this series, where I've kind of looked at this game and went, meh. But today, this game just kind of has a meh kind of feel about it.
Man, I mean, just the days when this was such a big game. I still remember being a youngin' watching when Warwick Dunn and those boys came back on Florida. You know, it was 28-0 or something. I think it was like 28-0 and the comeback and all that. I mean, it's lost a lot of luster, man, and that's because Florida State is where they are as far as a program. But I think it's going to be actually a good game today. I think Florida State, I think Coach Otis has got them boys playing at a high level. I know a lot of them down there want him to remain the head coach at Florida State. I don't know if that's likely or not.
Rumor is they're close to something, whether that's with him or with somebody else. So, but the feeling is there'll be a new coach in Tallahassee.
Well, because of the December recruiting, you got to get somebody,
in there. Yeah. And so I look at it as, I think Florida State's going to come out and play hard today. And again, don't underestimate the fact that a lot of these kids played against each other since they were 6-7 years old in the parks.
This game means a lot to them.
It means a lot to them. So that's why I say I expect this to be a good football game today.
Chris, two things. One is, say what you will, Florida may be playing for a Big Six bowl game today.
Yeah.
So, they need to win. They very much could find themselves, in the Cotton Bowl or something like that when all is said and done. So it is important. We've kind of joked, Randy, Cam Akers' season is really good this year. He's having his best year, not just running the football, 13 rushing touchdowns this year. And he's also, Chris, caught 28 passes out of the backfield. He's having a career year catching the football as well, 4 touchdowns as well. I mean, unfortunately, with all the stuff that's kind of surrounded Florida State about how bad they've been on that, Cam Akers has really kind of flourished this year. He's had a really good season. And how is Florida? Florida's 115th in the country running the football. Weren't they supposed to be better than that with P. Ryan and those guys? Trask is back.
Trask
next year,
back,
too.
Yeah.
Where was he going?
Was he
going somewhere?
Was he going to transfer portal?
By the way, I think Emory Jones is the guy that they're desperately wanting to win that job next year.
We've been saying that for 2 years because he fits the mold of what that offense.
Dan Mullen, he looks like a Dan Mullen quarterback.
We've been saying that, but Emory has not taken the bull by the horns yet. I mean, I know they want him to be the strong quarterback.
And listen, Trask has done a nice job. I think he's got 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the year. They've done a nice job. They've had it's like I said, they've been kind of sneaky good. They're not great, but a 10-2 SEC team is a 10-2 SEC team, Chris. I mean,
that's right.
You can't dumb your way to some of those things, and they've just kind of been sneaky good. But I actually think that this could be a sneaky good game today, actually. Blackman's thrown for over 300 yards the last 2 weeks, so this might be a little – it doesn't mean a whole lot, Chris, but this might actually be a pretty good game today.
If you're Alabama, you are pulling hard for Oklahoma State today in Bedlam as Oklahoma and Oklahoma State meet. Oklahoma State playing without their starting quarterback today. Spencer Sanders will miss the game. They do have Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading rusher. John Chuckery, a little stat of the day for you.
Thank you.
Do you know Mike Gundy's record – against Oklahoma as a player, assistant coach, and a head coach?
1 win?
Close. 2 win. Well, he's 2-12 as a head coach.
Okay.
2-12 as a head coach. Overall, as a player, an assistant coach, and a head coach against Oklahoma, Mike Gundy, 5-22-1.
Hold up. He won 3 times as a player?
No, as an assistant coach. Two of those assistant coaches' wins were when he was an assistant under Les Miles. Les was 2-2 against him.
Okay, because he he was the quarterback. He was the quarterback at Oklahoma State when
Barry Sanders.
Well, no, when they had his team. But he was a quarterback when they had Bosworth and Caselius and all those guys, when they had literally the two best defenses maybe ever in college football with those guys. So I know he didn't beat Oklahoma very much as a player.
No, he won. He's beat them twice as a head coach. He won twice as an assistant under Les, and then I think he won one other time as an assistant there under whoever the head coach was.
I was going to say, because they weren't winning a whole lot as a team against Oklahoma with Bosworth and Jamel Holloway and those guys when he played there. So. Do they ever win a big game, Oklahoma State?
No.
Ever?
No. They don't. They had all – I mean, they
had that crew.
They had that crew, his best team ever, his most talented team ever. No, they didn't, and they wouldn't put the smack down on them. I'm looking at Jalen Hurts' number. He has had an unbelievable year. I mean, he's over 1,100 – almost 1,200 yards rushing and 17 touchdowns, 3,200 yards passing and 30 touchdowns. I mean, this kid
– In any other year, he'd be the Heisman winner.
Any other year.
In any other year, he'd be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Goodness. He's having an unbelievable season. Yeah, I mean – Oklahoma State, they'll put up a fight for a half.
The Heisman voting finishes after this week, right? Because next week's games do not count.
Correct.
So the Heisman voting will close out. I'm not sure Joe Burrow even threw five interceptions today that he loses the Heisman Trophy at this point.
No.
Who's second? Probably who's the runner-up? You go Chase Young? Because there is a strong push now for Chase Young.
What do we say? The best thing that happened to Chase Young was those 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
He's fresh and ready.
Well, not only fresh and ready, but it put his name out front for it. You know what I mean? His name actually became bigger than what it was. I think Chase Young is going to New York, but I think Jalen Hurts is still number two.
Yeah.
I still think he's going to finish
second.
That's
the way I would
put it. Yeah. Because Tua's pretty much out of it now. I mean,
I
mean, he's him and Burrow won't split the vote like they may have in the South.
Right.
So I think Jalen Hurts is your number two.
Colorado and Utah today, another game that has some college football playoff implications. Utah hasn't allowed more than 7 points in five out of their last six games. They're fantastic on defense. They're efficient, at least, on offense. And Colorado's they're playing better. They've finally gotten
beat Washington
bowl eligible.
Yeah.
But I think the pressure is
Coach Bill. Good job, Mel.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure's on Utah today.
They had lost five in a row and then won the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How about these two numbers? You know, everybody talks about Alabama, and the reason, and I know Utah's gotten a lot of love, you know, they have no wins against the current top 25 either.
None.
So they don't have any wins against them either. They've only given up over 95 yards rushing one time this year. Their defense, Randy, they're the number one rush defense in America. They average giving up 55 yards a game on the ground. 55 yards a game is all they give up rushing.
They're stacked up front. Whew. You look at their front.
A lot of NFL guys. A lot of Sunday guys up there.
At least eight guys on the defense now will probably play on Sunday. The thing with Utah is Zach Moser. But I like Hundley. I think he's okay, but he can't win without Zach. He's not that good a quarterback.
Right.
It's all about Zach Moss and that run, and them trying to them establishing the run game.
Randy, how bad for the Pac-12 was it? And hell of a call by Chris when we get to the pick statement. How bad was it, though, that Oregon lost that
game? Coach Herm, baby.
Because you really
– your man, Randy.
Coach Herm, baby.
I mean, if the Pac-12 – I really do believe the Pac-12 wanted its shot. It really needed two one-loss teams to have to line up. I mean,
agreed.
I understand beating Oregon will be a nice win. That's going to make Oregon a three-loss team at that point, and they're not going to be ranked all that high when it's all said and done.
But I mean, that's the part that drives me – insane about the committee and what they do. It ain't my fault that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm supposed to beat you, and now you're a three-loss team, and now you dropped to 22, so it doesn't look as good. But I beat you when you were, say, 14.
I know.
That's the part that just – what irritates me about this whole college football thing. I mean, it ain't my fault y'all stank. It ain't my, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. Well, I promise you this. You'll punish me if I lose to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? So, I mean, I went out there and beat you.
Right, it's you're almost damned if you do, damned if you don't. You get punished for losing, but you also get punished for winning as well because you didn't. The team you beat is now not ranked as high as what they thought they were.
Well,
you're right.
It's a conundrum. But it is, you know, in college football, you know, 10-2 versus 9-3 may not sound like much,
but it's huge.
College football, Randy. When you only get 12 of those things, Randy. I mean, it is a big deal to be 10-2 versus. Mark Richt lived off that 10-win stat. And again, you know, 10 years out of 15, you know, 10 win. there's something about that 10 wins versus 9-3
in the
world of college football that does make a difference.
That's true.
Fair or unfair.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about Rivalry Saturday here as we get you set for the full slate of college football games coming up later on today. Anything else? And I know coming up here at 10 o'clock.
Hey, the ACC is going to get a ranked game in the title game because Virginia will get ranked now. Because Virginia Tech was 24th going into that game. Virginia will move up into that 24, 25 spot. So the ACC will be able to say it has two ranked teams playing in their title game.
And it will finally give Clemson a chance to beat a ranked team.
Yeah, which
they haven't done. Well, they haven't played one of them yet.
A&M was ranked. A&M was ranked when they played.
Currently ranked.
Oh, currently. Okay. But no, I'm looking. It was
Brian. Now, that goes back to what you just said, Randy. It's not about where you were when we played. It's where you are now.
I was looking at something Brian had earlier on about Lincoln Riley. And it was quite. He said, is he still the hot coaching candidate for the NFL? I don't know. But does Lincoln Riley need the NFL?
No.
He doesn't.
Can I tell you, you're going to think this is blasphemous. Oklahoma's as good a job as some of the worst NFL jobs in some ways.
I agree.
I mean, for cachet and things like that,
yep.
Being the head coach at Oklahoma ain't exactly a bad
– you can do a lot worse.
Yeah.
And then the luster, Mike Bobo, some reports say, and I saw last night, that he might be out after the day. You coming home?
He'll be a coordinator in the SEC.
Come on home.
You ready, huh?
Come on home, Mike.
What do you guys think about Tom Herman right now?
Dude.
How hot is that seat going into next year? And how – remember, we talked about it so much here on this show. When Tom Herman chose – remember, he could have gone to LSU.
Right.
And he chose Texas over LSU. And basically, LSU settled for Ed Orgeron.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, we were talking yesterday – man, Ed Orgeron, he's going to win Coach of the Year, but he should win it just for staying out the damn way. Stay out the way. Let them dudes do their thing, and you see how it has taken off for them. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was reaching last week, headbutting folks. Like, why are you over here butting heads with these dang old kids? What's wrong?
That's what he does, man.
I mean, that's just stupid.
Take his shirt off and challenge somebody to a fight.
Yeah, I can't wait for the push-up contest in the locker room, too.
Number 1 versus number 13 in the Big Ten today is Ohio State and Michigan meet. It's also number 8 against number 12, Minnesota host Wisconsin. We'll get into both of those games when we come back to kick off the 10 o'clock hour of college football game time. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.